Okay. So first of all, I'd like to thank the members of the church here for allowing me to get up here and speak. For those of you visiting, I am not the normal preacher. I'm just one of the guys partaking in our weekly duties. I'd also like to thank Jake for switching with me so I could get this done and over with. And I'd like to send a special thanks out to my son, Zach, because without him, we would not have a PowerPoint presentation this morning because I could not figure out how to make the thing work. So, with that being said, we are going to dive right in. Are you complacent? This is a question to answer, and I'm hoping after this lesson is over, you guys will be able to answer it, because I know this lesson just walked all over me. Alexander Tyler, he is a historian professor, and he has said that the average age of the world's greatest civilization has been 200 years. Nations have progressed through this sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back into bondage. Are we complacent with ourselves, our state of worship? The question has bothered me, like I said, for some time. So I ask you, are you complacent? When I asked myself this question, I answered no at first, and then the more I studied, the more I realized just how complacent I am. And I had to change my answer to yes. So the first thing we need to do is define complacency. Just to show of hands, who here knows what complacency is? Few? Dictionary.com defines complacency as, or complacent as, an adjective, pleased, especially with oneself or one's merits, advantages, situations, often without awareness of some potential dangers or defects, self-satisfied, the voters were too complacent to change the government. And it also says that it can mean pleasant or complacent. And I looked all throughout the Strong's Concordance, and I couldn't find hardly one thing on complacent. However, using thesaurus.com, I found the synonyms for complacent, which, as you can see, it states that it's an adjective. It is conceited, confident, easygoing, egotistic, gratified, happy, can't even pronounce some of those, pleased, satisfied, self-assured, self-contented, self-pleased, self-possessed, self-righteous, self-satisfied, serene, smug, and unconcerned. Complacency also is the same as indifference. You'll find a picture of a complacent church in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. I apologize for the small font. It states, I guess before I read this, I should say that I'm using three different translations when I wrote this lesson. I used the King James, the New American Standard, and the New King James. So if the wording doesn't match up, you'll understand why. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans writes, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation, of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I loved, I rebuked and chastened. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with the Father, with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. The church demonstrates what a complacent church looks like in the eyes of Christ. They are lukewarm, dead, naked, and blind to their own condition. Complacency is indifference, and God does not approve of it. Complacency is a trait of being a fool, and as such, the comfortably numb, borrowing a phrase from Pink Floyd, will likely not be awakened to respond or rebuke of God. Consider that God warns when calamity comes upon those who live a life of complacency. They will then call on God, and he will not hear them. Hence, if we do not hear his word now and awake out of our sleep, then he will not hear us. Then, notice in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke, surely I will pour out my spirit onto you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when terror comes. When terror comes, and destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will say to them, and the complacency of the fool will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely, will be secure without fear of the evil, or without fear of evil. Conceit can be part of what causes complacency. If we are conceited, we cannot see room for improvement in our lives. So now let's look at conceited. If we look at conceited, we can find all sorts of information on this in the Strong's Concordance. Starting in Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 6, Paul states, "Make my joy complete by being the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regarded one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude with yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus." So we are told here to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but to look to the interest of others. Furthermore, we are also commanded to have this attitude in ourselves as Christ did. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 11, verses 19 through 21. He states, "You will then say the branches were broke off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off to their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either." So we can see that we are told to stand by our faith. "And if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare none of us." When we are complacent, that's when the pruning process begins, and God won't hesitate to prune any of us. Paul furthermore states in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the qualifications of an elder. Some Bibles may say overseer or bishop. All are the same position. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. "It is a trustworthy statement. If a man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work if he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from love of money. One who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into condemnation incurred by the devil. He must have good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." We see here that if one wants or desires this position, he is not to be a new convert, that he will not become conceited or tempted by pride or fall into condemnation of the devil. So we can see being complacent has grave consequences on our soul. The devil was prideful of his position, or self-righteous, which resulted in a fall from honor and authority. Paul warns us that difficult times will come in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. He says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. So, not only does he tell us that these are coming, but he tells us that we need to avoid these people. In Proverbs chapter 26, starting in verse 4 through 16, this is out of the King James Version, it says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of the fool cut off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is the parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to the fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressor. As a dog returneth to its own vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a wise man in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion in the street. As the door turneth open his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, and grieveth him when he has to bring it to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men can render a reason." We see here in verses 4 and 5 how to answer a fool, not in agreement of his own ideas, but rather that he should be rebuked on the basis of his folly and shown the truth. Then in verse 12 states, there are degrees of foolishness, with the intellectual conceited being the most stupid and hard to remedy. The conceited person or the narcissist is right in his own eyes, and he is the one who is doing well and knows the facts, and he thinks that he is the one whom others should in fact want to be more like. In verse 16, he states that the ignorant are ignorant of their own ignorance. And the sluggard here in chapter 28 and verse 11, and the rich man of Proverbs. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor hath understanding, searcheth him out. The complacent person fails to see the nature of God. In Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12, it states, "And it all shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who says in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil." The complacent person settles in what is comfortable to him, but God searches with lamps where men are willfully blind to their defects. Heaven's light is shining on him. These folks thought that he would not judge them, but he must judge a faithful and holy nature. He cannot tolerate sin. The call to wake up and strip ourselves of our pride and worldliness. We can see this in Isaiah chapter 32, verses 9 through 11. Rise up, you women who are at ease, and hear my voice. Give ear to my word, you complacent daughters. Within a year and a few days, you will be troubled, O complacent daughters, for the vintage is indeed, for the vintage is ended, and the fruits gathering will not come. Tremble, you women who are at ease. Be troubled, you complacent daughters. Strip, undress, and put sackcloth on your waist. So, I ask you once again, are you complacent? If you answered yes at the beginning, the middle, or at the end of this, then I ask you, ask God for help and forgiveness. Change your ways. It's not an easy task to do. A person once told me it takes 21 days to make or break a habit, whether good or bad. So, if you're complacent and you're studying, set time out of the day for 21 days to study, whether it's 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever, and on day 22, if you miss that time, you're going to know it, because you know your body needs to be doing something. You've set a habit. It'll just come natural. We never like to leave a service without an invitation. If there are any among us that would like to ask for prayers of the church, or need to repent of sins committed, or maybe you've been baptized and you want to do so, now is the time to do it. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said to them, repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 10, verse 43, he states, of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness. Come forward as we stand and sing.
Jesus rose of shame.